Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, September 6, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 44 in the Agnostics. We're reading the fourth full paragraph, beginning with, if a mere code of morals, ending with, they failed utterly. We're going to read and comment on that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Lisa N. reading the text, Jennifer H. will be reading page 164, and Dion R. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Christina M., and announcements will be Jody E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, September 5th, 2024, is 21,720. That's 21720. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,722 or 21722. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everybody, everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffered. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each person has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Robin B. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Robin B., an Ohio compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
Well, thank you so much, Robin B. I will now ask Joanne L. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, everybody. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island. I'm still recovering one day at a time. And thank you, Stephanie, for your service. And thank you to all the newcomers on the phone. 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and the literature that we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what we read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, please let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to re-mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in We Agnostics. We're on page 44. The fourth full paragraph, that bottom paragraph there that begins with, if a mere code of morals, ending with, they failed utterly. We're reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. And I will now ask Lisa N. to please begin reading.
Thank you so much, moderator. Stephanie, right? Good morning, everyone. Lisa N., gratefully recovered by God's grace and mercy one day at a time. If a mere code of morals or a better philosophy of life were sufficient to overcome alcoholism, many of us would have recovered long ago. But we found that such codes and philosophies did not save us, no matter how much we tried. We could wish to be moral. We could wish to be philosophically comforted. In fact, we could will these things with all our might, but the needed power wasn't there. Our human resources, as marshaled by the will, were not sufficient. They failed utterly. And there's a sadness when I read this, because I think of how much time I spent trying to do this, trying to be a better person, trying to volunteer more, trying to pray more, trying to diet, of course, and eat like other people and try to be like other people that I admired who were thin or who seemed to have it all together. I tried and I failed. And I did that for a good, well, I would say I started even dieting when I was as early as a five-year-old in school. Once I got there, I was teased a lot, and my mother was concerned, so she was controlling my food. So probably then until I joined OA when I was like 44, it didn't really start working the program until I was 46. And so all of that time dieting, trying to be like other people and not having it work and just feeling like an utter failure, like it says, they failed utterly. So if you're like me, I tried to control it. I couldn't. I needed a power greater than myself, but I didn't know that. I knew God had a part in it. I didn't know why. I didn't know how. I thought he was disappointed in me. And so what I learned when I came to the program and I decided to do what I was told, which I never wanted to do, I always wanted to do my own thing. When I came into the program, I heard people saying that it wasn't my fault that I had this problem. And when I heard that the first time, I don't know if I heard it and didn't really hear it, but when I really heard it the first time, it felt like such a, really? Really? It's not my fault? It felt so good. And now I know it's not my fault. And even the thoughts that come into my head, they say if it's the first thought comes into your head to eat something or to harm yourself with food, it's not your fault. The second thought might be, and because you're not taking an action, and you need to take an action when that second thought comes. Call a fellow, read some literature, pray first. If you're like me, I'm a compulsive overeater. I don't have any power, but I do have a source. A power greater than myself. And I call on that power frequently throughout the day. So that's all I have. Thank you so much for letting me read and share. And welcome newcomers. Hope you have a good day, everyone.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa N. And we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. I'll tell you your experience. We ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day, in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you share it on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you with a timer when your time is up. When you hear the timer, please finish up promptly in order to give others a chance to share too. So I'm going to ask, if you please give your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from. Who would like to share?
Wendy B. in Arizona.
I've got Wendy B.
Agnes A.
I heard Agnes. Who was before Agnes?
Pam B. from California.
Pam B. from California. Okay.
Margo B. New York.
Margo B. from New York. Gotcha.
Lindy.
Oh, didn't hear that. That was real quiet.
Lindy, California.
Was that Lindy? I'm sorry, was that Lindy from California?
Correct. Lindy, California. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, got you, Lynn. Thank you.
Susan P. from Georgia.
Susan P. from Georgia. Gotcha. Is there anyone else who want to get in on this first round?
Joe M., Minnesota.
I've got you, Joe. Joe M. from Minnesota. Let me fill you in on what I've got here. I've got Wendy B., Pam B., Agnes, Margo B., Lindy, Susan P., and Joe M., and we'll go ahead and start with Wendy B., followed by Pam B. Wendy, you're up.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona, and this paragraph just describes my struggle, you know, perfectly with, you know, what life was like before this program of recovery, and, you know, I was a good church-going girl. You know, I had a code of morals to live up to, and I had a list of do's and don'ts and a lot of religious shoulds. And you know, I thought it was all about obeying the rules and lots of self-effort to be good enough. And, you know, I thought if I could just get everyone to follow all the rules, you know, how I interpreted them, you know, what others should or shouldn't be doing, then life would be good, you know. And I was trying so hard to be perfect. I just needed others to try too. And, you know, and I didn't realize until I came into this program of recovery that I was trying to play God. You know, I was just like the Pharisees in the Bible, you know, so caught up in following the letter of the law that they were offended by the truth, you know, and they couldn't recognize Jesus or condone the freedom that he offered. You know, he presented a whole new way of life, and depending on him and his power and strength to accomplish his plan and his agenda. And, you know, he offers me a whole new way to live life, you know, relying on him and not on my self-sufficiency and how well I can follow the rules, you know, because I couldn't follow them perfectly no matter how much I tried, you know. I think that's, you know, why he gave us all these rules, you know, as a moral code for us to come to the place where we realize it's impossible to follow it apart from him. And, you know, when he guides me to do something, you know, he also provides me with the power to do it. You know, and as I walk this abstinent path, he provides the way. You know, he guides me through these sticky situations, you know, that life presents. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Next, we've got Pam B., followed by Agnes. Pam, you're up.
Good morning. Thank you, moderator. Thank you, everybody that makes this possible. I'm Pam B., grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater in California. My thoughts are, I'm thankful for the spiritual basis. And my experience, I've shared on the line recently in the last month. I've been struggling, and I'm free today, and I have been for a couple weeks, and it's, I really believe that what was happening was I would do my spiritual practice in the morning, pray, meditate, turn over the day, and then it was like my mom sending me off to school, and now I got to go do it on my own power, and then I come in, you know, battle weary in my own strength. And tired, and then I, you know, the food would call. But I have been living. I have to be free. I have to constantly throughout the day, when I am agitated or something comes up, I have to turn it over and talk to God. So it is about working the steps. It's work for me to. It's my instinct being, you know, I was a neglected kid. I've dealt with that in therapy and stuff, but my natural instinct is to manage and control my life. And it is work to trust and let go. And, the more I do that, the more it proves I'm not battle weary when I get home. I am refreshed and, spend more time talking to God. So I just want to thank you all for being here, and I really felt the support and love, and I hope you all have a happy Friday. Thank you. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Pam B. from California. Next up, we've got Agnes followed by Margot B. And Agnes, can you let us know your last initial and where you're calling from? I didn't capture it. Agnes, can you hit star one to unmute?
Okay, can you hear me now?
Oh, yes, we can hear you. Thank you so much.
Okay, so yes, I'm Agnes A. from California, and wow, have been one. All the readings this week have been awesome, and have called to me. But for this one, oh my goodness, it is true, you know, I've tried to be moral by the Christian philosophy, and that didn't work. You know, I've tried to pray and just say, hey, God, take away this obesity, take away this difficult problem, this boss, this dysfunctional family, this, that, and the other, you know, and nothing happened. And deep down, I knew I had a problem, and I did all those diets, but it wasn't enough. All of them utterly failed, and each time that the weight came back, it brought its siblings and cousins, right? It just kept going up and up and up and up, and it was just, I was at the point of, well, doesn't the scale ever stop, even if it doesn't go down? You know, kind of, and just resigned to depression until I came to OA, you know, and then found the power. Even when I struggle with relapse, it's like I need the power to be willing to be willing. I need the power to surrender instead of just calling into my sponsor and saying, you know, I would say that I was abstinent today except for X, because I did not want to surrender X. I did not have the power to surrender the X, you know. So instead of going to God and humbly saying, you know, doing steps 1, 2, and 3, this X is calling me. I have no power over it. But the minute I call on God, because over the past 30 years, it's worked like magic, right? Then that X became non-existent, didn't become a problem anymore. So that's what I found in the program, that if I pray to follow the steps and do what I'm told and stop debating and I surrender and I ask for willingness to surrender, the power comes. So the power comes from this program, and each time it works like magic, just like my self-will in the past always utterly failed. And with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Agnes A. in California. Next, we've got Margot B., followed by Lindy.
Margot B. from New York, compulsive overeater. Thank you, everybody, for their service and the comments around the room. Lack of power is my dilemma, and the grief that I should have done this, I could have done that, and just all that, you know, self-condemnation. Then there's no room. Where's the pause? Then there's no room for God's higher power to come in and do his thing, because I'm just too caught up in what I should have or could have, and the grief that, well, if I had done everything that self-help book did or that diet, story, and just to really surrender that all, whew, I inadvertently lost weight, can't figure out how, and then, of course, I went back to, I don't even know, because I have anything I can take anything instead of using it as a tool, use it as a weapon, including the scale. So just really grief about how the coulda, shoulda, woulda. But it says in our promises, we don't stare at the past. You know what I mean? I take it, I learn from it, I move forward. And at the moment, I'm a little stuck, and that's okay. Because I got the tools, I can pick it up, and it'll pass. It always does. And I just forget until I remind myself or hear from another traveler or another person or sponsor. So I just wanted to claim my seat and say that it's okay. And I get to use these tools. And I don't have to worry about all the other self-help and all that other stuff. Just stick with my steps, stick with the steps, stick with the program. More will be revealed. Trust the process. And allow myself to grieve. It's okay. Yes, I spent so much time trying to do it a different way. But now I have a solution. The solution all leads me to God. So I need to learn minute by minute to surrender and trust. And some days are harder than others. And that's okay, too. I'm still walking on the ground, you know? So thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Margot B. from New York. Next up, we've got Lynn B., followed by Susan P.
Hello, I'm Lynn D. from San Diego, California. Everybody okay to hear me?
You can be heard.
Okay, thank you. So the part that struck me this morning was the I wish, I wish, I wish. I didn't grow up religious or spiritual, and so I used to play these head games, later revealing that I was playing them with myself, which, you know, we all know how that ends. I was doing these self, only if you did this, this, and this the right exact way, maybe you'll lose a little weight. Or, you know, who was I to be this moral judge with myself? I mean, what a messed up thought that was. And I remember that that was one of the tapes I had to clear before I could change my attitude and really let a higher power in. You know, if I did life just right, then maybe, you know, it was the only thing, right, that was wrong in my life. Well, looking back, a lot of things were wrong in my life. It was ruled by fear and self. I mean, that sounds terrible now when I think about it. But back then, I thought I was doing it right and wasn't wondering, you know, why I wasn't losing weight. So I wish if I did this, if I did this. Wish is kind of not a great word. Today I prefer the word action. So today if I do action, with talking to my higher power, maybe I'll get some solution and result, but maybe not, you know, because it's all upon my higher power's will. So for me, I think that, you know, it does, like previous comments said, it does give me some of the relief that, you know, this wasn't my fault. It's not like I'm the real deal compulsive overeater. Nothing was going to change that, you know, lifestyle, thinking, money, anything, any of that. You know, I'm just a real deal compulsive overeater. I have to work a program of my recovery. I have to talk to God every day. I have to let him into my life however I see fit, and I also have to listen. You know, I have to do all of those things today to get some recovery. And with that, I'm so grateful. Thank you for everyone's service. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Lindy from California. And before we go on to our next person, let me remind you where we are. And for people who just logged on, we are on page 44. We're on the fourth full paragraph, beginning with, if a mere code of morals, ending with, they failed utterly. And we read and we're commenting on just that one paragraph this morning. And next we'll go to Susan P., followed by Joe M.
Yes, this is Susan P. Can I be heard?
We can hear ya.
Yeah, this is Susan P. from Georgia, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to share. Usually I listen to the meetings, but my sponsor told me that I need to go in person and to share. And the phrase that stands out to me is about human resources failing us utterly. And this has been an enormously difficult issue for me, from the which I can tell because I've been in the program 48 years and I have two months of abstinence. But I am doing my best to follow directions, which is a really big change for me. But I just finished writing up my fourth step today, and of course, the big issue is grappling with my relationship with God. And on the one hand, I have a disease. I'm powerless. My human resources have failed me. But on the other hand, the program has been there. It's been my responsibility to choose to work it or not. And I've worked it very imperfectly for the last 48 years, which has gotten me a weight loss of 80 pounds, but I have 100 more to go. And so I'm just really grappling with my relationship with a higher power. But what I'm learning is that regardless, because on my resentment list, I have God. Why did you create me to be a person that has taken 48 years to finally surrender. And what the program is teaching me, though, is that the blame game is utterly futile. There's no point in blaming. It is what it is, just like there's no point in hanging on to resentments, either towards myself or to God. The important thing is one day at a time, choose to move forward and follow directions and accept help, which I have never done to the degree I am doing now. Never wanted to follow directions. Never wanted to let go of that branch. You know, you've heard that story about the guy who falls off the cliff, hangs on to the tree, and asks if anybody else, if anybody's up there, and God says, yes, I'm here. Let go of the branch, and the guy says, well, is there anybody else up there? And that's me. You know, I never wanted to let go of the branch. So I'm just asking God for the willingness one day at a time to let go of the blame game, let go of resentments, and not sink into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection. Just stay in the today, work the steps, stay abstinent, take it one day at a time, learn to ask for help and follow directions. And again, my human resources failed me utterly. So it just tells me that every moment I need to pray to ask God for the willingness to do the next right thing. And with that, I'll pass.
Isn't that time? Oh, perfect. Thank you so much. And next up, we've got Joe M. from Minnesota.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. My name is Joe M. I'm a compulsive overeater in Minnesota. We could wish to be moral. We could wish to be philosophically comforted. We could will these things. And when I think about what I was doing when I was doing that, you know, before I got into recovery, why was I wishing for things and trying to will things? It was because I lacked sanity. And because I wanted to be restored to sanity, so I was looking for power. And I was looking for power in these things. I was looking for power in my codes, in my philosophies, in my wishing, and in my willing things. Willfulness, trying to force things. And so, of course, I was looking for power. I didn't have a power by which I could live, so I was looking for it. And I don't blame myself for looking in all these places. These were the only places that I knew to look. And so that's where I looked. And it was a really hard pill to swallow to experience what they talk about here, which is my human resources were not sufficient. They failed. And that's, for me, a big pill to swallow. That it's not that they worked a little bit. It's that they just didn't work at all to get me the power by which I could live. And I don't think anyone could have talked me out of going to my codes, going to my philosophies, going to my wishing, and going to my willing. You couldn't have talked me out of that. I'm a very headstrong person, and I needed to do that research and development so that I could learn that it didn't work. But the only way that I learned it didn't work was coming to Overeaters Anonymous and being confronted, not confronted, I don't mean that in a negative way, but being presented, I should say, being presented with a completely different way of thinking about things. Then I was able to compare and contrast that with what I had been doing myself, where you showed me there was a different way of thinking and a different way of living and a different source of power. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Joe M. And we're now going to take another lineup. And I just want to remind y'all, if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes so that as many people as possible can share on our meeting. And if you can please give me your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from, who would like to share?
I'd like to. My name is Larry G. from California.
Gotcha, Larry.
Shirley from California.
Awesome.
Was that Shirley from California?
Elizabeth B. Wisconsin.
I'm sorry, was that Shirley from California? Okay. I'm writing down Shirley, and hopefully I got it right. And I think I heard Elizabeth from where?
Wisconsin.
From Wisconsin. And what's your last initial, Elizabeth?
B like in boy.
Okay, gotcha.
Kelsey R. in Texas.
I've got you, Kelsey.
Suze S. from New Jersey.
Suze F. as in Frank or S. as in, I don't know, S. as in Sam. Was that an F or an S?
That's an S as in Sam, Suze S. as in New Jersey.
Gotcha, Susan. We'll hold there because I think that might bring us to the end. I've got Larry G. followed by Shirley, Elizabeth B., Kelsey R., and Suze S. And Larry, you're up first, and then Shirley.
Yeah, thank you, Jennifer. My name's Larry G. from California. Grateful member of this program. You were the moderator of my first call, and you were kind and generous back then, and you are a kind and generous moderator today. I really appreciate your service. Like all of you, I totally relate. I tried hard. There's a woman who was sharing how sad she is about lost time and moments and memories, trying to be the best she could, but food got in the way, alcohol, money. On this particular call, especially in the last 4 years before coming into a vision for you, on my altar was a iconic figures of Western religion, and I really tried to be a good devotee of this wonderful historical master. But by time 10 o'clock came around, I was into being self-absorbed, getting as much food as I can. So what I should have put in that altar was built an altar of sugar and flour. I want to share something with you. I'm not an AA historian. There's people on this line that really have grasped the history of AA. But I'll share something that I learned. This is the fifth time I've gone through the 164 pages. So I've gone through the doctor's opinion with you all five times. And, of course, in my own study with my sponsors, I'm going through it the steps a second time. And I came across moral psychology, and I never saw that before. I wasn't interested, and I looked up what moral psychology is. And moral psychology encompasses the investigation of psychological presuppositions of ethical theories, including freedom of will, determinism, and the possibility of altruism. On my own, there's no way I can reach it. I couldn't manufacture any of those precepts of moral psychology. I tried. I did the very best I could, but like I said, by 10, 11 o'clock, I was so self-absorbed at getting as much food as I could that all of that was just evaporated in the air. But today, with the grace of God, with entire abstinence, freedom from the obsession, being less absorbed than I have ever been in my life, wanting to do good without asking anything in return, even in my marriage, my relationships outside of OA, and of course on this call, and I fall short. I'm a human being, having a spiritual experience, and I have normal limitations and weaknesses as a man on this walk in this planet. But I strive towards that. I strive towards the idea of altruism. Altruism to me is the greater good, seeking the greater good. For example,
Larry, that's time.
Great, and I will pass on that and pass it back to you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Larry G. from California. Next, we've got Shirley, followed by Elizabeth B. And Shirley, I hope I got your name right.
Hi, and I just woke up at the age of 83 to the fact that I didn't want to work the program, but now I want to work. I want to stay up late listening to podcasts and listening to my sponsor, and I'm finding that I have grown finally into an adult. And I was using childish kind of thoughts to govern my life. And I want to be perfect for God, not perfect for my job, for my childhood. I'm a human being, and I'm celebrating that. And I just humbly want to say that the sharing today was extremely meaningful to me. And I am so happy to be back in the Vision for You program. Thank you. Pass.
Shirley, can you let us know your last initial, please?
Yeah, Shirley R. from California.
Got you, Shirley R. from California. Thank you so much. All right. Next up, we've got Elizabeth B., followed by Kelsey R.
Hi, this is Elizabeth B. from Northern Wisconsin. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. I had my 39-year anniversary in OA in August, so which I'm very grateful for. I'm thankful that I've never left the doors of OA. I haven't always been abstinent up until the last couple years, but I just am so grateful because I think without being in this program, I'm maintaining a 60-pound weight loss. I have about 30 more, probably 30 to 40 more to go. And I don't think that would be the case if I had left the doors of OA. I think I might have jumped up another 100 pounds or maybe even more. So a lot of gratitude today. 2 years ago, I didn't think I could ever say I was grateful, a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. I don't think I was very grateful. I think I was pretty mad. And so I'm not that way today. I've had over a year of back-to-back abstinence. And so I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for the program because we read a story last night in another meeting that talked about the things that this person did, how she worked her program and what she did. And she used the tools. She used the tools to, I always tell my sponsees that, you know, when you eat your three meals a day, then you use the tools in between to stay away from the food and just stay abstinent. And it works. It really does work if you do it. So anyway, my dog decided she needed to go out just as soon as I was going to speak. So now I'm outside. So I'm going to let everybody go. Thank you so much. And keep coming back and use those tools because they really, really do work. Do the steps and use the tools. Thank you.
You're muted, Stephanie.
Oh my gosh, somehow I got muted. Thank you.
I'm done.
I got, okay, Kelsey R., you're up next.
Hey, good morning. This is Kelsey R. in Texas, recovering compulsive overeater and bulimic. Stephanie, thanks for your service and for the lead chair and everyone that's making this meeting possible. Yeah, I mean, this paragraph is just, it's it's my story. I mean, my lifetime of church membership just did not result in a relationship with God, and not for lack of good intention or putting my butt in a pew or doing all the things that I thought were right, because it's not a checklist of things. It's not the letter of the law, right? It's the spirit. It's the spirit of it. And I had a script for God. Like, if I do these things, I shouldn't be uncomfortable. I shouldn't have an eating disorder. I shouldn't have a child with health issues. I shouldn't, because I do this, and this. And how backwards that is, right? We're taught so clearly in this program that our prayer is to be, you know, not my will, but thine be done, because in step three, we turn that will and that life over to the care of God. And just recently, I realized that very critical word in step three, care, like to the care of God. Not like it's just such a simple and beautiful word of how God feels about looking after us and wanting to protect us. And you know, when we are right sized in that relationship, everything seems to fall into place or out of our lives, at least for me. And this paragraph also made me think of one of my new favorite paragraphs in Acceptance Was the Answer. I love all of them. But it just goes so beautifully with this. It says on page 417, it helped me a great deal to become convinced that alcoholism was a disease, not a moral issue. So we were talking about, we could wish to be moral, right? We could wish to be philosophical. We could wish things all that we could, but the needing power wasn't there, right? So it's not a moral issue. It doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter what our religious, you know, creed is. It doesn't matter what, you know, philosophies we believe in. This is separate from that. This is not a moral issue. It's a spiritual malady. But I had been drinking as a result of a compulsion, even though I had not been aware of the compulsion at the time, that sobriety was not a matter of willpower. The people of AA or OA for us had something that looked much better than what I had, but I was afraid to let go of what I had in order to try something new. There was a certain sense of security in the familiar. And that security.
Thank you, that's time.
Okay, great. That's it. That's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you. And Suze S., we got a minute. You want to take a minute, Cher?
I sure do. I wanted to ask who the person was that just shared, please.
We just heard from Kelsey R. from Texas.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah. This reading, talking about, it doesn't say that we don't have the desire to change. It doesn't say that we don't try. It doesn't say that we don't try with all our might. What it says is that we're powerless to make it happen, to make it stick, not just to make it happen, because I can do something once and say, hey, I succeeded, or I can do better next time. But it's the power to see beyond what I'm, you know, just doing, as opposed to, you know, me thinking that because I could accomplish something once, that I could be a doing instead of a being, that I have it and I don't have it.
That's time. Sorry.
Thank you. That's great. Thanks so much.
Sorry about that. All right. We'll now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164. Followed by the Serenity Prayer. Jennifer H., can you please read A Vision for You?
This is Jennifer H., recovered compulsive overeater in Alabama. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.